Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 11 of Better Me, Better Us. I am Vicky McEwan.
And I am Hayley Muir.
And it's lovely to have you all with us today. As it is National Stress Awareness Month, we thought we would talk more generally about things that lead to stress and thought we would look at expectations, both of ourselves and others, that can create stress. What immediately comes to mind, Hayley?
I think when we were talking about this, we talked about expectations, didn't we, that others might place on us. But I think the one thing that's really sticking out for me is probably knowing you, knowing me. Sounds like somebody else has said that before, doesn't it? I've been thinking about the stress that we put upon ourselves or the expectations that we put upon ourselves a lot of the time. How many times do you hear that saying, we're our own worst enemy? And I think a lot of stress, and I'm thinking from personally and people that I know, is often caused by the expectations that they put on themselves. And I guess that leads me to ask, where does that come from?
Yeah, I was going to say, is that a conscious expectations they put on themselves or very unconscious based on the people around them, the upbringing, society? Because I was just thinking then in terms of some of the expectations that I have of myself, that is based on what I am led to believe I should be achieving, I should be doing. And actually, if I slowed that down and really sat with that, are they my own things that I want to achieve and expect of myself? I'm not quite sure.
Or are they messages that you've received maybe from, like you said, the people around you, whether that's colleagues, friends, family, society, messages about females, expectations, you know, you're younger than me, as you always like to remind me. But I know that we, or particularly I, are of a generation where the, you know, women were becoming more equal in the workplace. So there's more expectations that we probably placed upon ourselves because the messages around us were, you can work, you can be a parent, you can do this, you can do that, you're going to be everything.
I was absolutely going to say that the expectations have perhaps increased or the opportunities have opened up. But with that comes huge stress, doesn't it? That women especially are trying to cram in a lot of different roles into the same 24 hours a day. And oh my goodness, the amount of women, parents that you see that are super stressed and exhausted.
Yeah.
And the impact that stress has both emotionally and physically really takes its toll, doesn't it? And can be really damaging to your body.
Absolutely. And not to miss out the men in our life as well. We know, and we're probably going to go up, down and all around with this conversation, but we also know that there are different messages about stress on men than what there are on females. Yeah. You know, females, we're known to chat to our friends more, our colleagues, be a bit more open about, wow, I'm feeling this or feeling that. Whereas men, you know, are not encouraged so much to talk about expectations placed upon them. And even thinking about social media and society, the messaging towards men now that I see towards younger men is not dissimilar to some of that messaging towards young women about how they should look, how they should smell, how they should achieve, you know. So I guess some of those expectations now are shifting a little bit in our society.
Yeah, and I was thinking then it's like gender neutral, isn't it? And should it be gender neutral? I'm not quite sure. It just should be individual, shouldn't it? To those individuals based on their own circumstances, situations, and life opportunities that they've got going on for them. And it does come back to, doesn't it, where those expectations come from that lead to stress. I was reflecting on a conversation that I had with a male friend last summer that may or may not be listening to this. And the expectation that he had to be earning a certain amount, providing for his family, living in a certain style house, and the stress that that was creating for him. And it was having an absolutely negative impact, but he didn't feel able to communicate that stress to those closest to him that it was impacting in terms of the people that were contributing to those expectations. And it comes back to, like we always say with these conversations, communicating, doesn't it? Being able to have conversations with the people around us and communicating the impact of all of this on us and our expectations and our tolerance levels and our boundaries.
And probably a bit of what we assume their expectations are of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We might not want to let them down, but actually those people probably wouldn't feel let down if we did open up and say, hey, do you know what? I'm feeling a certain way, or I need support with this, or, you know, whatever that might look like. So I think, again, it's what we create in our own mind, so that, you know, expectations of ourselves and then the assumptions of what we think, well, everybody must assume that I can do this and I can do that. I went through a stage when I was younger of feeling that everybody expected me to have a really good time every time we went out. So I felt like I almost had to perform. But that creates a stress. Mm-hmm. You know, that might be seen as a positive, but actually there's a bit of a stress there, because if you're not feeling in the mood and up to it, you feel like you're letting other people down. So you've got that bigger responsibility. But that's probably, you know, an expectation that I put on myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how did you then get out of that and stop being the performer? Or have you got out of something? Or are you still the performer? Because I guess it is... the people that then struggle with the change are the people that benefited from us being that way, whether it be in your friendship group or whether it be at work, the fact that you're the one overachieving or putting in all those extra hours. The people around us struggle, don't they, when we start to change?
Yeah, they do. Like, what's the matter with such and such, or, you know, but mm-hmm. I think, well, it's like with everything, isn't it? Life experience teaches you, you know, that it's not about living up to those expectations. It's about you actually being fulfilled in your life, and not creating those stressful environments. Like, you know, we've had conversations as friends with me being slightly older than you, and recognizing and saying, hey, you know, maybe you want to ease off a little bit on this, just because, you know, again, it's life experience, being there, done it, and you're going to burn yourself out because there's these huge expectations potentially that you've put on yourself of what you need to achieve and not let everybody down. And then we do feel a level of stress both ways, either living up to that expectation or being a bit stressed that we might have let people down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess, like you said before, it's about communicating with everybody and being really open, because actually when you do that, my experience is most people are like, wow, oh my gosh, what can I do to be supportive?
And it's that, isn't it, being brave enough to communicate it. I was thinking about a time when we worked in the same building together, and I was trying to work out as you were speaking then the expectation that I would do something, and I don't want to go into any detail about that, and engage in something. And because I was the youngest, newest member of the team, I made an assumption, wrongly, that I would be not chosen to do it. And I did end up doing it, and there was the expectation that I would be okay and it would be manageable. And absolutely, the stress that it caused was huge, in terms of I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating well, I was quite tearful. I can remember going back to Yorkshire one weekend and just crying on my friends, because, and it absolutely takes its toll, doesn't it? But been brave enough to communicate that. But equally, there's a responsibility of those around us to listen and observe, not just for the verbal cues, but the nonverbal. Because if I think back to that time in my life, good God, I was absolutely communicating in a nonverbal way that I clearly wasn't okay, and I was really feeling the impact of stress. But people didn't want to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And they sort of kept their head down and probably got on with what they needed to do, because they felt stressed that enough with their own stuff that they weren't able, they didn't have that space, to sort of look at other people's stress. And it comes back to that, you know, we've talked a lot about compassion fatigue as well. That's a different kind of stress, isn't it? So those people that are working in the helping sort of roles and jobs, whatever they might look like, sometimes they get compassion fatigue, which causes stress in a different way. So, you know, you've been give all day, you go home, and then you present as quite stressed. And that is the other thing that you were saying then, is about the impact of stress. What does it look like for you? You know, some people will hide that a lot, but they might be the people that you think are quite angry or standoffish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it presents in all sorts of different ways, both physically and emotionally, doesn't it? So we know that stress can impact on work because it can make you less productive and actually make you go off on a sick.
Yeah, definitely. And as adults, what are we modelling to children around us? Because we know children are always observing and always watching. And I guess to those children in our lives, what are we modelling in terms of what verbal or non-verbal expectations we're putting on them? And I'm thinking of upcoming SATs exams, GCSE, A-levels, the expectations that these young people are getting from school, parents, everywhere that they need to achieve. And I guess, how are we supporting them to manage that stress and pressure? And what have we modelled to them about our own in terms of you just have to power on and get through it and manage, or to take regular breaks? Or I've seen XYZ, I've seen them go for a run, I've seen them go to the gym, I've seen them have some family time. Like, what are we modelling?
Yeah, because it's important to show our children and young people the right way, because we can't eradicate stress. And actually, in some situations, stress can be quite helpful. You know, it's quite a protective factor, because when we get stress, it creates all sorts of chemicals in our brain, doesn't it? And a physiological response. So actually, in a dangerous situation, it's good to feel stressed, because then we respond. But yeah, how are we teaching those around us to deal with stress that is put upon us? So you might have work deadlines or things that you have to work to. That's healthy, that shows we're not going to eradicate it, but we're going to manage it really well. So actually, that stress, we can play it to our benefit. I mean, we were talking about healthy and non-healthy stress. We were both talking about times that we were at uni and sometimes working quite close to the deadlines was actually really helpful in creating focus. But there are times that we've both been in workplaces and either ourselves or seen colleagues where you think this is not healthy and the stress is piling on top. And yes, there's coping mechanisms, but they're really unhealthy ones.
Absolutely, in terms of people turning to alcohol, self-harm, or even I think sometimes now we're in a society where excessive gym use, I sometimes do think, oh, that's bordering on an unhealthy habit, because it is consuming, it's before work, it's after work. And yes, it's maybe managing stress, but what impact is that having on your body as well?
Well, it's not creating another kind of stress as well, because what if you sleep through that alarm and you don't get up at 5:30 and you don't make it for the 6 o'clock session? Is the rest of your day failed? So it's again putting another expectation on yourself that before you go to work, you're going to achieve this, and then that'll make it a good day. But what about if it's not? That's okay too.
And it is absolutely, like you referenced earlier, that difference between healthy and unhealthy, isn't it? And there is probably a fine balance that changes. It's not fixed, is it? It is very fluid and will change day to day. Thinking of exams then and upcoming exams, how did you manage that stress, the expectation to achieve? Was there the expectation both from school or parents that you should achieve?
I'm probably slightly different in that I went to boarding school. So there was very fixed times for prep, like homework times, you know, it was after your evening meal, and everybody was in their dorms and heads down. But I mean, obviously we still played around a little bit because we were at boarding school. So there was some very clear marked time. And then I think I stuck to those times and then made sure that I socialized the rest of the times. What about you?
I was thinking it was less about expectation to get a certain grade, but the expectation from at least parents was just do your best. Yeah. And if you've done your best, that's all we could ask for. So it wasn't about, because I could never have achieved that. It wasn't about getting all A's or anything like that, because I'm definitely not academic enough. But it was about just do your best. And as long as you've done that, whatever that next chapter looks like, we'll be there to support you. But I guess that's when I'm aware of that privilege and how lucky I was that I had that support network around me and that message, and how for some young people, in variety of different families. I know there's families that I've worked with over the years that the expectation for them to achieve at A-levels, to go on to some of the best top universities, to then come out with top degrees and go into these high-flying professions is huge. Yeah. But then equally, there's some young people from certain socioeconomic areas that probably don't have that same expectation and actually would love those opportunities.
Yeah. And actually, it's great to have expectations of everybody. Mm-hmm. You've got to have a goal, haven't you? Because then that mm-hmm. at least you can head towards something. You've got some level of ambition. And working with children and young people, that's always one of the first things that I would ask is, what do you hope for your future? You know, what's it look like if it all goes well? And what are the best ways that you're on your way to getting there? Who's helping you to do that? Mm-hmm. So it's not about expectations. It's about what that future would look like for you. But it's interesting, stress and the impact that it has on our bodies, because we know that that can be gender different, but we also know mm-hmm. it can be culturally and ethnicity dependent as well. Yeah. So that can change mm-hmm. how the body responds to stress. Also what your expectations and norms are of your cultures. Yeah. You know, do you stress? Or do we not talk mm-hmm. about stress here? Or do we just not get stressed? You know, are we very mm-hmm. laid back and chilled and actually stress isn't even on the agenda? So it's quite an interesting subject, actually.
And we were talking and have regularly talked in the last few months, haven't we, about the cost of living and the stress that is putting on some families is absolutely huge and is completely out of their control in terms of the cost of gas and electric, food. Oh, it's scary, isn't it? The impact that is having and the stress that it's causing and the ripple effect of that, because if people are not having their basic needs met, how can we possibly expect people to go to school or work and be able to perform and achieve when their basic needs aren't been met through no fault of their own?
Absolutely. I mean, and we said it before when we were talking about you're getting into systemic practice now, because actually it goes all the way back to what the government expectations and targets on schools. How do they translate that to the expectations and targets they place on children and young people and their families? How does that fit when those children and families, some of them, don't have the economic means and expectations to be able to provide what their kids need? So the stress that causes in them already living in a cost of living crisis. There's so many stress factors, isn't there? And that's the difference, I guess, as well between, and maybe that's the difference between unhealthy and healthy stress, is imposed and chosen stress. So, yes, mm-hmm, you and I mm-hmm. talked about sometimes at uni when the stress actually worked to our advantage. You and I both chose to be mature students and go back to uni and study later in life and things mm-hmm. that we were interested in. I guess when you're doing your GCSEs, and yes, even at my age, mm-hmm. I can remember back to then, that wasn't my choice. That was imposed. Yeah. I didn't want to do GCSEs, mm-hmm. but it was imposed by, you know, expectations on school. Mm-hmm. Which are translated, you know, from what governments say that we have to be doing with lesser money and lesser resources. Mm-hmm. So the stress that you know, is imposed now by society as well, lack of resources, cuts and everything. We've got less teachers. We've got everybody striking. You know, we've got health professionals not having the resources. They're then stressed. Can they do their job to the best of their ability when they're stressed?
And how, absolutely, with you saying then about teachers and the NHS and strikes and pay and people going off on the sick, how can people possibly, I was going to say do their best, absolutely people can do their best, but systems be working effectively when people are short-staffed? Like, they're already going into situations on a daily basis with that extra stress before even doing their actual job, because they're already overstretched, overworked. Oh my goodness, I cannot possibly go off on the sick because our team's already half down with everybody that's on the sick.
Because they're placing expectations on themselves that, oh no, I can't let the system down. I can't let mm-hmm. these people down. So it's those expectations. And then the stress when you can't do the job that you want to do. So it's every part of our society at the moment is experiencing expectations which are unrealistic, which causes stress. But we're not going to end
and
on
it's
that.
How we manage it.
Yeah, we're not going to.
Well, I was just thinking, how do you personally now, as an adult, manage stress? What are your warning signs? Do you know them? Do the people around you know them? And how do you respond to them?
Yeah, I'm getting much better at noticing them now. And it has probably taken me until my 40s, but that's because I've led a very fast-paced life. But what I know is I know to step off the treadmill, because what I actually know is stepping off for 24, 48 hours is not going to, you know, change anything massively. I make sure if there's anything safeguarding, that's always put to bed.
Yeah.
But I step off the treadmill now. I just give myself, right, stop. Rather than continuously doing what I'm doing, just get off the treadmill, go and have 24 to 48 hours off, go and do what I need to do, but, you know, go to my happy place and then come back refreshed, which means actually I'm probably going to be ahead of myself, even if I'd worked through those 48 hours. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
What
definitely.
About you? Because I know you've looked at your sort of life and how you can improve it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm constantly reviewing as things change or as work changes. And similar to you, I do feel I've got better at managing stress or recognizing it rather than just thinking I need to be superhuman and plow on because I've got to achieve all of this and there's the expectation that I will. And I think for me, booking time off every like 6 weeks, having a couple of days or a week off and seeing it as that opportunity to rest and recharge rather than feeling guilty about taking that time off, trying to incorporate booking friends and family in at other times, exercising regularly. And I think for me, for the last few years, stopping to think some of the things I'm doing, is that because I want to do them or is that because other people want me to do them? And I'm thinking of that both in my personal life when I'm like, yeah, I'll do that with you or do that with you. And then I'm like, that's not really something I actually want to do. And actually, if I want to see you, I can see you doing something else. I don't need to put myself through something that I don't want to. And equally, at work, I always have felt really lucky and privileged when people have approached me with different opportunities, but doesn't mean I need to say yes to them all. If it doesn't fit and it's not aligned with what I want to do, then it's okay to say no, rather than making myself stressed and not sleep, because that's a warning sign for me. If I start to not be able to sleep very well, I'm like, oh, what's going on? Why can't I sleep?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, as you were talking there, the word that came into my head, which I know is something that we use all the time, it goes back to imposter syndrome and expectations. Mm-hmm. Those self-expectations we put on ourselves are always, no matter what we do, no matter who we are, I need to do better, or I'm not good enough at this. And that's about a lot of the time about what you're saying to yourself. So just all the way back to what Vicky said, I think at the beginning of this or very early on in the conversation, is communicate with people around you, because you know what? Half the time when Vicky said to me, do you know what? I'm not feeling great. I usually go, do you know what? I'm not either. So there's somebody will share that. Somebody will absolutely have empathy, because we're all trying our best and that is good enough.
And it's that, isn't it? Be humble to recognize that we're all still learning. So your children are learning, we're learning. None of us have it all together all the time, do we? So it's just recognizing that and being human, as we always say.
I don't believe that anybody wakes up in the morning and goes, let's make that today a really bad day full of mistakes. You know, if it's gone wrong, it's gone wrong. So let's just be supportive of each other and remind each other that it's okay.
Yeah.
Hashtag definitely. Be kind.
Absolutely. And for those of you on school holidays this week, whether it be last week, this week or next week, think about the expectations that you've put on yourself this week about what you're going to do as a family and what activities your children are going to do. Like, yeah, be kind, be fair and be realistic.
Just being with you is enough.
Absolutely.
Have a good month, everybody. And we'll catch up with you on our next episode, which I believe will be our annual
12th. Yes.
Exciting times. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening in. It's always a pleasure.
And I am just going to make a final comment of wishing you publicly a happy 50th
How
birthday.
How very dare you tell people. It's not true. Thank you very much, my darling.
Have a great month, everybody.
Take care.